Hello, everybody. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible. Had a technical difficulty. As soon as I get Skype back up, I'll get the other host on there. In the meantime, I'm going to throw a quick tune on there.
A wing, a wet, 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 a w All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
All right, let's try this again. Everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. There's King Shaziz the Terrible, and for some reason, my doggone Skype call is on hold. You guys back there yet?
Sorry, not yet.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. I'm
anyway, here. Every time I get ready to talk about a controversial subject, this is the kind of stuff always occurs. So, you know, there's something going on there. Anyway, you know, there's a lot of people out there in this world who have a whole lot of different beliefs and a whole lot of different subjects, and one of the main subjects that they have a whole lot of differences is God and religion. And I don't want to turn this Knights of the Round Table into a sermon, nor do I want to turn it into a debate over who's right and who's wrong. I'm just wanting to pose a few questions about things that are going on in the world. I recently watched a video. I've got somebody's phone ringing. I recently
Skype auto dialed his Muddy's mobile instead of his Skype.
I recently watched a video. All right, you're killing me.
Calling me on my phone.
I've got it.
That Skype.
I got that echo in the background.
What's going on, Chaz?
I got that echo from Muddy coming in the background.
Oh, let me see if I can cure that here.
All right, well, while you're curing that, let me get on into introducing the show.
It's you.
Oh, man.
It's you, man.
It's me? How could it be me?
I don't hear any echo.
I do.
It's coming from Muddy's side, because every time it comes through, we're seeing his little icon light up.
Yeah. Breaker 19 for a radio check.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, going back there, rubber doggy.
All right, well, I recently watched a video within the last day, and there was a young man on there who was a Christian, and he was talking about how there's a lot of controversy on the internet between atheists and Christians. And I, for a fact, myself have witnessed this myself, where, you know, there's a lot of hatred going on out there. Every time somebody's out there trying to preach their beliefs or whatever, you know, there's a lot of animosity between the Christians and the atheists. And, you know, to each his own. What you want to believe is up to you, because you're on your own spiritual journey. But I don't see any purpose in going out there and literally using filthy language and trying to degrade somebody down to the point where they just simply can't take it any longer and close down their YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff, you know. In my view, if you're an atheist and you don't believe in there's a God, and that you think that when you die and it's over and that's all there is to it, and then you go back to dirt, well then, life to me would be precious if that was the case, because your average lifespan is short, and so you might as well enjoy every bit of life that you've got, and to its fullest extent, because it's over when it's over, according to your beliefs. So with that said, why waste your time trying to convert somebody or convince them that there is or isn't a God? And once again, I don't want to turn this into a debate of whether there is or isn't a God, because even the non-believers can actually agree that in this world there is evil. There's a lot of evil going on in this world. A lot of weird stuff going on. I played a pod before the little crash there where Jesus is getting struck by lightning, you know, six times a year or something like that. And then, you know, there's one person in there was talking about where Jesus' hand was on fire and how the Pope had broke his hand, pretty much the same hand that the Jesus statue got struck by lightning and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of weird things going on there.
I think I've got the answers.
Well, hold your answers for a second. So the question I'm trying to pose here is a sort of like a what if question, you know. What if there is something to it? What if the Christians got it right? What if the atheists had it wrong? And what if, you know? What if Jesus was an alien? You know, who knows? Either way, you know, it is a controversial subject because no matter who you talk to about it, everyone, even amongst the Christians, have different versions of different beliefs. And if you actually calculate up the number of all the Bibles and different copies of all the religious texts in the world, there's quite a few of them. But one thing stands clear in all of those things. They all believe in some sort of divine intervention. And with that said, you know, is there something to this whole life after death thing with, you know, religious beliefs and all that going on? I guess the simple thing that I'm trying to get to, you guys got a lot of laughter in your heart going on. Anyway, I got the Knights of the Round Table on here. I got Cultus, I got Dublin, I've got Thomas, I got Muddy in the background there. And we want to just kind of open this subject up to, you know, some discussion. You know, something's going on in the world. You know, in the Bible it says that there would be signs in the heaven. And, you know, whether you believe in the Bible or not, go back in through it and check out a few things. And there are some striking similarities. You know, if you classify the Bible as art, life imitates art. There's a lot of things in there that are happening today. You know, in Revelations, it talks about wars and rumors of wars and so on and so forth. And so, you know, there are striking resemblance to parallels going on. So, you know, regardless of whatever your belief is, I believe this will be an interesting discussion. So how are you guys doing? Who wants to jump on there first? I know somebody's been chomping at the bit, giggling back there.
I'll go. I'll go with your logic. I really, you know, I always say this to atheists when they're getting hot and heavy. I say, like, you know, as a Christian, I'm aiming for brownie points, you know, with God in converting people. But for an atheist, it doesn't make any logical sense to waste 1 second on the subject. You know, like, you're wasting away your life even debating it, you know, like, you know, and so many of the atheists are so evangelical about their atheism, and you kind of say, well, you know, where's the brownie points in it for them?
Yeah, because the example that I gave to an atheist one time, I said, you know, the chances of either one of us knowing, you know, who was right and who was wrong, if we fall under your belief system that there, you know, there is no God and we all just die, you know, neither one of us are ever going to know. I said, but, you know,
at the last
of the whole deal, when we're both dead, you know, both of us will find out who was right and who was wrong. And then, you know, then we can debate it then, if you like. But either way, in the meantime, all you're doing is wasting time. You're trying to dash somebody else's beliefs and hopes. And in this day and age, you know, along with the previous history, everybody needs as much hope, belief, and love as they can possibly get, because this world, you know, if anyone disagrees with me, say so, but this world is kind of jacked up. What do you think?
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
This world's got a lot of issues.
The world has generally been jacked up. I mean, there was nothing good about the good old days if you happened to be living in Africa when the great white hunter came, or you happened to be living in America when the hordes of Europeans came, or you happened to be an Aboriginal living in Australia. You know, it was pretty bad for a lot of people.
You'll say it wasn't great for the people in the Dark Ages living in Europe either. I mean, you know, I think the issue isn't so much why are these guys arguing over religion. It should be more like, you know, who's using it as a weapon and who's actually using it to do benefit, you know?
Yeah, who stands
behind it? Who uses their beliefs to do good, and who uses the other people's belief to harm them with it, you know?
Who stands to gain by convincing me that there is no God, or to convince me that my religious views are, you know, tainted at the very least, you know, that nothing I was ever taught was reality, you know? If you actually jump on YouTube and you actually do a research into the particular subject, you'll find movies out there such as Zeitgeist that go down and they talk about this religion stole from that religion and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, instead of worshiping on Saturday, you're supposed to worship on Sunday. And, you know, just there's so many different views and opinions on a thing. But if I was a a youth growing up in today's world, and the first movie I saw, you know, was Zeitgeist, I would be, you know, if I had an intelligent brain, I would be kind of skeptical of my own religious beliefs just because of the way that they portrayed this particular story. Now, once again, you know, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of going out there trying to convince me that this was all a sham from the get-go? If this is your true belief, there is no God, and life is short, then you better just enjoy every second you got. Otherwise, you're wasting precious time.
I think the one major benefit that they are trying to see in trying to convince you, those who aren't atheists simply because they're angry at somebody else who is a Christian. You know, this is their way of basically slapping them for whatever they feel they were done wrong. For those who are honestly truly atheist, just because they're atheist and they've been completely convinced, they're not angry at anybody about that happens to follow another religion, that they're using this to get back at them. Their belief, I think, is just simply because they've seen religion being used to extort other people, which, you know, it has nothing to do with the religion itself. It has more to do with psychopathy. It has more to do with people's inability to really have any empathy for their fellow man, and they just basically prey upon them with anything they can. So, you know, their idea of basically removing religion so that they remove this hook that these people can use against you is no good. A thief will always find a way to break through into your home, no matter what method you use for basically locking it up, if he really wants in. So well, you get rid of religion, they'll find another way to basically, you know, to harm you.
I have to say,
take from you, to steal from you.
I have to say, I agree with you, Thomas. There's a, you know, the thing that disturbs me the most is the harder that some of the atheists try to convince me that there isn't God, the more my faith becomes stronger. For the simple fact is, you know, when I read the Bible, I read about good and evil, you know, and I'm listening to, you know, there's a Christian out here preaching love, and then there's this atheist out there using every filthy word under the sun to tell him how stupid he is for believing what it is that he believes. While he's wasting his time, he's actually making my personal faith stronger, because, you know, I'm seeing this, like, to me, it's like the devil fighting the good guy kind of scenario going on. Does that make any sense to you?
Right. They're creating an us versus them. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of basically one of the problems with trying to basically change the way people think, is that you're going to basically make some of them much stronger.
I'm going to be a little bit controversial.
And that creates division. That's the problem, though. That's division. That makes, you know, makes the people in power more powerful.
The thing is that, to be perfectly honest, neither side has anything to stand on, because neither side can prove their point.
Well, you got it
without doubt.
You got it. Right? You got it right there, Cultus. See, but listen, from my standpoint and from my personal religious beliefs, is that it relies on faith. You know, you don't see the error out there, but you know it's there. You have faith that it's always going to be there, you know, so you're believing in something that you can't necessarily see. But either way, that is a comfort to me, because I know that life is messed up, and if I was to go through life just believing in nothing, period, and knowing the true facts of what reality is around us, then I'm not very comfortable, because I'm always fearful of everything under the sun. But in my beliefs, there's something to look forward to. You see where I'm coming from? So
yeah.
If it brings me comfort to believe what it is that I believe, why not just let me live my life in peace
exactly.
and love?
Yeah, it makes you happy. Why should someone stand on your toes for that? And like, yeah,
because the Bible has the ability to tear down every liberalistic view
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, any man of science who says that he's an atheist isn't a man of science. You can only be an agnostic or a believer.
Well, I would think you're right on that. I would think that a scientist would be more open to the possibility, because if you just took the took the universe for example, I mean, it's so vast. Who's to know what's out there? I mean, there's so many things to be discovered.
Mm-hmm. That's dead right. My personal beliefs up till a couple of weeks ago, or up to a week ago, was that, you know, we were just, the differences between what a Christian believes and what I believe is purely and simply is the universe. As an agnostic, during the week some things have happened and I've had to re-question that.
Well, see,
you know firsthand about that.
Yeah.
So.
See, the people kind of get this kind of mixed up there. In my belief, God isn't the universe per se. God is the spirit. You know, God's everything. Okay, so in one sense, these New Agers, they kind of got it right because, you know, we're all a part of it. In Genesis, it clearly states that we were created in His image.
Yeah.
All right, and so that makes us a part of what He is. So that doesn't necessarily say that, you know, we're gods or anything. You know, there are some folks out there that believe we are gods. So, you know, that's their own, that's their own personal beliefs.
Yeah, them dopey Mormons.
But either way, you can't.
It's not just two eyes, a nose, a mouth, ears, arms, fingers, five toes, and, you know, two legs. It's not just that.
Actually, it gets very specific in the Bible what it really is, and that is your awareness that you exist. If you read it, it says, "Who are you? I am that I am."
Yeah,
it's even more than that. It's mind, body, spirit, just like Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's everything that God, in potential, we were made like God. And it even goes as far as to say in Genesis, when man had eaten from the
tree of fruit knowledge,
the apple. Basically, he says, if they eat of the tree of life, they will be like us. So they had to be cast out of the garden. And the interesting thing is the word us.
Well.
And,
you notice there are words in there that you could say that basically insinuate that there's more than one God, because it also says that God said that I'm a jealous God, you know, so does that insinuate that there are more gods? Well, that's highly possible. There could be, you know, look at, you got Hinduism, you got Buddhism, you got Christianity, you got Catholicism, you've got religions all over, and every one of them have their own, version of what their God is, or what their religious beliefs stand for, and all that kind of stuff. But all the way through the entirety of history, there's statues on Easter Island. There's like wonders all over the world. Things that are there, you know, big people, giants, or whatever. These folks, from the time we were crawling out of caves all the way up till the present time, believed in divine intervention from whether some heavenly deity, whether it be the sun or Saturn or whatever. So the very first question that everyone asks whenever they get old enough to even ask a question is, where did I come from? Why am I here? You know, you see where I'm coming from? There's something.
Well, you go to the Book of Enoch, and it shows where Satan was cast down in the form of the lightning bolt, like you saw in the video there. He was cast down, and then many stars fell behind him. That was the third of heaven being cast out.
Well, with that said, Muddy.
And you look to, they mated with the ancient Sumerians and stuff. The main deal is, he says, and there were giants in the land. The giants had the people enslaved to feed them, and when they couldn't keep up, the giants started to eat the people, and that's all recorded, and it's all in the Bible, and it's all there. I mean, it's talk about those giants. That's the offspring, the men of renown. They came to the earth, saw that the women were fair, and took unto them wives as many as they chose.
Well, with that said, Marty,
that same book talks about basically them coming on
the
giant bronze discs
where they had lost their right.
Hey, careful not to talk over each other. With that said, Marty, cultists, did you happen to find a description of those names that I asked for?
I most certainly did, my friend.
Could you read that out?
I most certainly can. Give me just one moment. Okay. So, the name Barak, blessing. Hang on. repented on the second name Hussein, grandson of Muhammad. Modifies Hussein like an adjective, and Barack Hussein Obama literally means blessing of Al-Hussein Obama.
Well, that's one of the many versions that I've seen out there. You can search and you'll find several different versions of what his name actually represents. I've even actually heard that...
This was the first one I came across that actually had references, mate. So I think this one's probably the closest.
Yeah, there's one out there, one version that I read that said Barack was the name of the horse that the Prophet Muhammad supposedly rode down from heaven. And another one of them that has said that it actually meant the word lightning. So I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm just saying that there's many different versions out there what this guy's name is actually is. Now, this is where we get into the twist of the whole thing. You know, some people believe that Barack Hussein Obama is literally the Antichrist spoke about in the Bible. They're talking about, you know, if you watch, go back and look at some of the old stuff that the campaign slogans and the pictures where Barack is like pictured with like a big O behind him, which almost looks like a halo that would be around Jesus, you know. And how he was portrayed as almost a Messiah-like complex kind of thing, you know. And then the fact that people from all over the world were rooting for this man to become the president. So, you know, if you kind of took the Bible and you looked at that, and it almost as if, you know, this guy popped on the scene, the whole world, he said that he was going to bring about peace, and he was going to bring about change and love and fairness across the land. He almost fits the criteria. Am I off base by this?
Not at all. You're
so, I was going to say, the Antichrist is supposed to bring a temporary peace, too, that basically tricks everybody into thinking he's the good guy, and I'm pretty sure we haven't gotten that peace yet. He hasn't called the troops he claimed he was going to or anything. We're still at war.
Yeah, we are. It's like I said, this is going to be a controversial subject, but, you know, if this guy, it really, truly, let's just say, we're going to speak hypothetical for a second, all right? Let's just say, hypothetically, this guy really is the Antichrist, and he's here to destroy the America from the inside out. He's here to basically bring about a one-world government all over the world, you know? He's going to bring us under one rule, under one hope of peace. And then, you know, everybody gets their little mark on their hand or their forehead, like it says in the Bible there. I can't remember whether it was Matthew or Revelations. I think it was in Revelations where it talked about that. But either way, let's say hypothetically this man is literally the Antichrist and all the atheists are wrong and there really is a God and all heck's fixing to break loose. Where do we go from there?
Where can you go? That's the question, you know.
Yeah, well, if you look out there, there's still starvation in the world. There's still wars and rumors of wars. There's people out here trying to do their best, like us here at the Knights of the Round Table. We're trying to preach peace, hope, and love, and unity throughout the entire land, you know. Some of us believe in a higher power. Some of us don't. Some of us believe in a higher power, but we don't believe in a Messiah, so to speak. Some of us believe. We all have different beliefs, but we all have one thing in common. We want our world to be a better place. We want our world to not be jacked up like it is. We want people to have food and shelter and everything that they need. We want everybody to have justice and peace and love in their heart. And so, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about all this stuff and I'm trying to balance out what's actually going on here. There is a worldwide movement to bring people together that isn't of any government. It isn't of any, so far, any Messiah or, you know, proclaimed, you know, God or anything yet. This is we, the people, actually doing something constructive towards getting each other motivated and building a better world, you know. So, have we given up on the government? Have we given up on God? Have we taken it upon ourselves to try to bring about this change ourselves? Because we see that the time frame that it's actually supposedly occurring in isn't, you know, to our liking. Is that a mouthful or what?
No, guys, I really think all my studies indicate that Obama is not the Antichrist. You know, all the studies seem to indicate that the Antichrist will come from the Vatican.
Well,
that's a false prophet. That's the false prophet. The Antichrist is one who's against Christ, which we see. The face of an angel, heart of a beast. Coming like this shining angel from out of the east, and going to cure everybody's problems. And his idea is to knock down Christianity. I mean, you're not allowed to even speak of it in the military, or you get court-martialed now.
I want to point something.
Obama is a helper of the Antichrist, but he himself is not the Antichrist. You see, before the Antichrist can arrive, the setup has to be prearranged for him. You know what I mean? So now that
prophet comes after him.
That's right. But now, that doesn't mean it'll happen. I mean, Obama might set up everything, and then God might change his mind, and then the false prophet doesn't come, and the ball gets kicked into touch, and we get another 1,000 years. The Bible's very emphatic about we never know the hour when the world ends.
That's true, but personally, and this is coming from my own personal views and whatever, is that I don't think we got 1,000 years before this world's screwed beyond recognition, because if we keep going on the path that we're on, I mean, we're heading to sure destruction. We are right now in the grocery cart, all of us, and we're heading over the cliff, you know? And somebody needs to jump out and drag their feet and stop us or something, and turn this cart around. Otherwise, we're all going down. You know, whether it be World War III or just total civil war throughout the entire land. You look at all the craziness going on, man. And you can't deny that there's two things in common. There's some religion in common with a lot of the wars. There's some fighting over resources with the other portion of the wars. Either way, somebody up at the top is spending a lot of money, time, and effort to either strategically manipulate our brains into living completely in fear, or basically trying to convince us that there is or isn't a God. Now, you can't deny that there definitely is evil in the world, according to, our own personal views of what evil actually is. You know, you kill somebody, to me, that's evil, You see where I'm coming from?
Right. Oh, yeah, but the thing is, we had the Hitler, we had the Stalin. I mean, if you lived in Russia in the time of Stalin, you would think it was the end of the world. If you lived in Russia, in Germany in the time of Hitler, you'd probably think it was the end of the world. The thing is, an American living in America, you would look at the world and think it's the end of the world, because you've got a nut job like Obama running around the place, turning the place into a communist system. And, half the sheeple not even able to comprehend that that's actually what's going on.
Well,
but it might just suddenly get all rolled back, the America's a huge sleeping giant, and if it all suddenly wakes up at the same time, the Obamas and the Rockefellers, I think, will be out of business.
Well, see, you hit on a key point there, Dublin. You was talking about how there's different points in history where it appeared as if it was the end of the world. I mean, you could probably go all the way back to the Crusades and the burning of witches and all that kind of stuff, that they probably believed it was the end of the world back then. And the end of the world has been around. You know, we've had doomsday scenario after doomsday scenario after doomsday scenario. My point is this. Somebody out there, whether it be all the way at the top or wherever you want to say, somebody out there has kept it alive for all these years to keep the average Joe, such as you and I, continuously bickering back and forth whether there is or isn't a God, whether there is or isn't a one-world conspiracy, whether there is or isn't a devil or whatever, we're talking about it right now. So somebody out there has set into motion some controversy that would keep us distracted for whatever purpose, whether it be financial gain or power gain or whatever. So many people in this world are in fear for their freedom, in fear for their life, in fear for their safety, in fear for their families. The key of this whole entire thing, no matter what you want to look at, whether you do believe or don't believe, there's a fear factor in there that has a control factor that goes along with it. And that's one of the things that I've heard a lot of atheists point out, that, you know, the God's a control freak, this kind of stuff, you know. I don't personally believe that, and I don't personally believe that God's responsible for starvation and sickness and wars and all that, because if I go to my Bible and I read it and it says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, it tells me that, you know, we weren't supposed to be out killing people. And so we were given this beautiful planet to live on. We were given all the resources necessary to take care of one another. We were put here to be caretakers of one another. And so if we are indeed the caretakers of each other, then we are not doing a very good job, because there are some of our brothers and sisters around the world who are dying and starving to death when we have access to everything we need to ensure that that never occurs. You see where I'm coming from? Boy, I just done give everybody a brain damage, didn't I?
No, it was good. I just you need time to digest all that. It's like a big hamburger you stuff down our throat there in one shot.
Well, that's the way that my brain works. I mean, I've got all these ideas and all these things that I've researched throughout my entire life. I've been to the point where I researched every single conspiracy theory under the sun. I researched the Illuminati, the Freemasons, all the different doomsday scenarios, and I got to the point where I was so devastatingly freaking paranoid that beyond your wildest imaginations, that I thought the boogeyman was coming out of every freaking door and out from underneath every bed and bush or whatever. And I was like, I got to build me a bunker. I got to store all this food. I got to store everything that I can to try to have everything prepared so that when my family has to go through this, I can keep them safe and I can, you know, take care of them. And the longer...
When you're in the middle of in a communist takeover, I mean, forget the end of the world stuff. There's no doubt that America right now, the USA, is under severe attempts to try and turn it into a communist system. And if you look at the track record of communists, the first thing they do when they get the chance is they cut off the food supply. And, of course, once that happens, then, you know, hungry people don't have an ability to negotiate. So by ensuring you got foodstuffs, then you have a better chance to be able to resist against a communist takeover of the USA. So I would get out there and preach to everybody, even if you're not, you know, Christian, you know, like, this is what communists do. They cut off the food supply. It's a good idea to have a lot of food. I mean,
the
end of the world.
And I don't disagree with you, because you have to have insurance to buy, you know, to drive your car, because in this day and age, everybody drives like lunatics. And so if you get in a wreck, then you could end up being sued to financial devastation. So having food on your shelf for insurance, that's common sense. That's a wise idea to save food up or whatever. Put things aside so that in case of worst case scenario, you have drinking water and everything you need. So I don't deny the preppers. Their reasoning to me is a good idea. But the point I'm trying to get is, if you look, somebody out there is making a whole lot of money scaring the literal crap out of every individual, and we are spending, instead of our time used towards making the world a better place and getting these corrupt, you know what, SOBs out of government, you know, and putting some good people up there who's actually going to represent us, we're spending our time trying to cover our butts because we feel like we're right in the middle of the war zone. You know, never mind the fact there really seriously are people out there in true war zones getting bombed on a daily basis. But if you look at what is being done to humanity as far as the fact that people are so afraid of just about everything under the sun, how can you enjoy life? How can you enjoy freedom and sovereignty when the only thing you've been doing through your entire life is trying to protect what you believe in? You see what I mean? Man, I got to stop going on them rants because I'm like giving y'all brain damage. But this is where I'm coming from, guys. You know, right now, there's people out there who believe Barack Hussein Obama is literally the Antichrist. I mean, he's obviously doing some serious damage to the country, and he's not really necessarily helping the world out. So he hasn't got to the point where he's actually brought peace about the world, but people believed in him enough to put him in office not once but twice, thinking this guy was going to do some good. And in my view, he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, people are just people at the end of the day, and Obama certainly fooled a lot of people outside of America. I mean, you should have seen the welcome that he got when he came to Ireland. I mean, they were all falling over themselves to be nice to him. But, you know, that tends to go with the trade. With, you know, any American president going to lots of countries is always kind of treated better than another.
While you're on the subject of Ireland, before you get too far, are you the one that told me about the doggone limousine that this president rides around and got bottomed out on one of the roads over there?
No, well, it wasn't me, but I think that when Obama came, one of his limousines coming out of the American embassy
One of them bottomed out. But do you know what they call that limousine?
No.
They call that limousine the Beast. And because it's built like a Sherman tank on crack. I mean, this thing's got bulletproof, bombproof, everything under the sun. I mean, it's built like a doggone army tank. But they call that they call that thing the Beast. Now, is it coincidence or is it ironic that we're sitting here talking about the Beast and Obama in the same sense, and, you know, the Antichrist? You see what I'm saying there?
Oh, yeah. No, the in actual fact, when you look at the translation of Beast in biblical terms, it actually means like an empire. So the Roman Empire was the first Beast, and then since then there's been other empires, and now we're probably in the last Beast, which would be the American Empire. You know what I mean?
Well,
but that's actually what the biblical term for Beast really means. It's not an individual. Which again brings us to the thing, it's possible that the Antichrist might not be a individual. It might be a collection of individuals aiming for the same target. So Obama might be part of, you know, the Antichrist.
Yeah, I've heard one definition of the Antichrist being just exactly what you said, was it wasn't just one individual, that it was anyone who denies Christ as, you know, the Son of God.
Well, it could be also an idea. It could be maybe the Muslim religion. It could be maybe some other concept. We don't know. It does seem that all the experts are agreed on that wherever the Antichrist, if it's an individual, comes from, it will come from the Vatican. Now, that would make sense in terms of biblical world, because God says in the last days that the devil will be allowed to rule the place. Do you mean?
Well,
you do see Antichrist, then you know, yeah. You know, if a individual stands up and turns out to be the Antichrist, you got like 3 to 7 years probability before the end of the world, you know.
Well, there we go. You know, I'm talking about, you know, I was so paranoid at one point, I was like a doomsday prepper on crack. I was running around trying to build myself a bunker of epic proportions, trying to protect myself from something that, according to my own beliefs, are pretty much unprotectable about, because nobody, according to my beliefs, could actually stand up to this Antichrist as the you know words were written. But either way, you know, this is one interesting subject and one interesting time that we're living in today. There's so much going on in the world every day without fail. You're hearing something else. Some big old fish die off, or birds falling from the sky, or whales beaching themselves, volcanoes going off, eruptions around the world, earthquakes, and, you know, wars and rumors of wars and plagues and pestilence and famine and crime and corruption. How's your average Joe supposed to put this in perspective while it's all going on? You know, what solution can we put on the table that your average Joe can step back and say, hold on a second, I need to catch my breath?
Well, ultimately, I mean, being a Christian, you put your hands in the, you know, the hands of our Lord. But even if you're not Christian, you go for the basics. You get lots of food, lots of water. If you live in the United States or countries that allow guns, you get the biggest gun you can lay your hands on, you know, preferably a 50 cal. But failing that, an AK-47 will do a lot of damage. And then you decide, you know, there's not much more you can do after that. You know, like, you can't put all your resources into that.
Exactly.
You've got to put some.
Yeah.
You know, and then you start to say, okay, well, if I can get a car that runs without gasoline, you know, and from hydrogen or solar power or whatever.
Well, cultists,
you
know,
and you go that
training in certain things is also a very good idea too. Like, a lot of people don't know how to go and catch and kill their own food. Like, you know, if you can't trap an animal, kill it and cook it, you're probably going to die anyway.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is if you can grow animals like rabbits.
Rabbits, yeah. Exactly. Prolific breeders like that, yeah. Where you can just constantly get...
It's a bit boring diet, but it'll keep you alive.
Oh, mate, there's nothing wrong with a bit of rabbit, and, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, rabbits
rabbit actually... every day gets boring,
man. I don't know, I'm a real big fan of chicken, so if I eat it cold, it tastes just like chicken, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
You see, so you eat it hot, you get rabbit, you eat it cold, you get chicken. Simple, you got two kinds of meat.
And if you live in New Mexico, you've got plenty of roadkill, so...
Yeah.
Well,
as long as you get him fresh,
you guys. I pose this particular subject today because, you know, I know it's a controversial subject, but there's a whole lot of people out there with a whole lot of different opinions. You know, there's in this round table that we've got here, we've got a whole lot of alternative energy researchers, and to me, that's one of the good things for prepping is, you know, all alternative energy. We've actually become accustomed to having lights and things that we don't have to burn candles and such like that. But at the end of the day, you know, the Bible says that you wouldn't know the time, you wouldn't know the day, that they'd come to you like a thief in the night. And so we wouldn't know when this was actually going to occur, other than the fact that we would see signs in the heavens and all this kind of stuff here. That, to me, I'm pretty stressed out. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'm pretty stressed out because I'm seeing everything that this book told me about. All right? I'm seeing it in real time. And in my belief, I'm watching, I'm looking, I'm listening to find out who's the Antichrist, what's going on out there in the world. At the same time, while I'm talking about this right here, there is literally a holy war going on all over the globe. I mean, you've got atheist versus Christian. If you think I'm wrong, go out there and surf YouTube and don't comment on any video. Just go watch and see what people are saying to each other. The way that they are talking to each other is just, it's terrifying. I mean, these folks are using every filthy word under the sun to totally degrade somebody, to totally try to prove them wrong or prove them right, whatever. They're sitting there fighting, struggling for their own spirituality amongst each other. So there's literally a war of words going on the internet. There's literally on other sides of the planet wars where there are actual bombs, guns, and whatever going on. There is literally a war to try to save people from starving to death. Everyone's fighting over resources. Everyone is struggling for power to become the next president of the United States or the next dictator of the next third world country or whatever. There is so much going on in the world that how could one step back and look at the entire big picture, knowing what is in the Bible and what was somebody wrote? Was the guy that wrote this Bible, or all the people that wrote this Bible, were they in the know of the elite? Were they time travelers? Were they seeing the future? Were they just us who had common sense and said, look, you know, this world looks like, you know what, and we've got to put down some sort of laws of common sense so that the future generations will believe in this book enough that they will try to be as good as they possibly can. You see what I'm saying? Somebody wrote this book. Right? A whole lot of somebody supposedly wrote this book. There's many different versions of this book. But the thing that stands out to me the most in this entire deal are the Ten Commandments, you know? Read the Ten Commandments. Those are some good rules to live by, don't
you? If you never walk away with anything from the Bible, you should at least walk away with the Ten Commandments under your belt.
Yeah.
It's just generalistic rules for just being a good person. And if you can't be a good person, then, you got big problems.
So, you know, even the non-believers can't deny, you know, the world is jacked up right now. We got a problem going on. And we all want the same thing. We all want our children to
and here's one thing that's going on, though. The believers, non-believers, the people standing on the side that have their own belief system that, you know, disbelieves both of the other two, they're all pointing fingers at each other, saying it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's your fault because atheism. It's your fault because Christianity. It's your fault because Islam. It's your fault because Democrat. It's your fault because a Republican. It's your fault because a Libertarian. It's your fault because a, you know, liberal, you know. Everybody's pointing fingers at each other, and behind that finger is a fist.
Yes, some.
And the one thing none of these people realized is that violence will always get you the opposite result of whatever it is you used it to initiate to try to create. So if you try to use violence to create peace, you will create war. If you try to use violence to feed people, you'll starve people. If you try to use violence to convert people to Christianity, they're going to turn into atheists. If you try to use violence to convert them to atheism, they're going to turn into Christians, or they're Muslims, or, you know, Buddhists, or something. They're going to go away from whatever it is you're trying to get them to come to if you keep using violence on them. You can't lock somebody in a basement and feed them and then say, you owe me money for that food, and you should be grateful that I fed you.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like I say all the time, peace has never, ever came from the end of a barrel of a gun, you know. It just doesn't. And one of the powerful tools that I say we have as humanity is love. And I whatever definition you want to put on love, that's up to your own personal spiritual journey, choice, or whatever you want to say. But you can't hurt nobody by loving them. You know what I mean?
On the same token, if you use violence, it's not love. You can't call it love.
No, you can't. And so, you know, as we're all sitting here talking about all this stuff, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this world go by in my mind. I'm seeing clear into the future. I'm seeing death and destruction and just terrible things. And you know, I come on yesterday and I was having to talk about how some mornings when I get up, I'm just so discouraged at everything that's going on around the world that I want to just close down my radio station. I want to close down my YouTube. I want to just walk away from the internet and throw my TV out in the yard and just be me and not even think about what's going on around the world. But then again, something in the back of my mind or my heart or whatever keeps telling me, if I walk away, you know, I'm not the Savior by any means. I'm not. But if I walk away, That's one less good person that's in the fight trying to do something positive, to throw them positive pebbles in the little guy that's standing in the middle of the big fist fight saying, can't we all just freaking get along for Pete's sake? You know what I mean?
You just nailed it right there, though, in the fight. I think the only way we're going to get to the peace is to get out of the fight. The less people are fighting, eventually the fight will go away. It'll stop.
Well, to some extent, I agree with you, Thomas, but the thing is, we can't stand idly by while the whole world collapses around us and not speak out, not say, when I say in the fight, I mean I'm out there. I'm telling all my brothers and sisters around the world that I love them. I'm saying peace and love, and I'm saying, you know, hey, you know, if there's something that you need and I got it, I'm willing to give this to you. I'm opening my life up to help you, my brothers and sisters around the world, and I'm trying to give positive hope, positive reassurance. I'm trying to do some alternative energy things so that if they have, they need it or whatever. I'm trying to do something positive in a world of total freaking chaos that I'm hoping will send a ripple of difference out there, positive difference to the world. That's where I'm coming from.
But that's not being in the fight at that point. Then you've walked away from the two people who are beating each other up because. At home, those two people have kids that are now not getting anything to eat, and you went home to bake a bread to go over and feed those kids while these people are being idiots.
Well,
That's what we need a lot more of.
In my heart and in my mind, it feels like a fight. It feels like a struggle. It feels like that I'm trying to get everybody to freeze and stop in their place, and I'm trying to wake them up to common sense. I'm trying to point out the good portions of life, you know? You know, in that war zone over there, the worst possible place you could think about, death and destruction, right in the middle of that war zone, in a little square of a little piece of grass that hasn't been blown up yet, there is a flower there, you know? You see what I mean? There's a piece of beauty right there.
And if you run over there to it and start pointing at it, the people who are fighting are going to come over there and tear it up.
Yeah, you're right.
They'll try. That's the thing. That's where we've all got to be vigilant and keep them all back.
Right.
Well, this is why I love the Knights of the Round Table, guys. And I love each and every one of you because we can come to the table and we can talk about this subject, which is a controversial subject because, like I said, go out there on YouTube. Spend a day or two out there just watching. Don't comment on anything. No matter how it affects you, whether it angers you what you just read or whether it makes you cry what you just read. Don't say nothing. Just watch and listen to what these people are doing to each other, you know. And it comes from both sides, you know. If a Christian tells a atheist, well, you're just going to go to hell for what you believe, he just stepped on the atheist side of the whole picture, you know. I gave you what you wanted. I showed you that I'm a hypocrite. You know what I mean?
It's biting into the argument, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Christians shouldn't attack an atheist, and an atheist shouldn't be attacking a Christian. Because like I said before, nobody knows the true answer. You can have all the faith in the world, but until you hold it in your hands and see it, it's tangible. Right. You know?
But
it could be still, it could not be.
Tangible proof. Yep.
That's why I remain an agnostic. I had a few things in the week that kind of spun me out a little, and it has made me start to reconsider, you know, but that's, you know, it's not an immediate thing.
It's all on your spiritual journey there, brother, but the thing...
Exactly, mate. Exactly. I'm on a constant spiritual journey, you know, and...
The thing that I'm saying right out here is, you know, let's say... hypothetically, and I'm not trying to, like I say, I'm not trying to force my beliefs on anybody. Let's say hypothetically there is a God, and this God created all of us equal, and he put us down here on this beautiful earth, and he gave us all this, you know, resources. He gave us skills, talents, gifts of all epic proportions. And what he wanted to see with his experiment was whether or not if he gave all this to all these people and then at the same time give them free will to choose between good and evil, whether or not evil or good would overcome the other and they would finally figure it out before they destroyed themselves, that they would figure out that if they worked together and they used all the resources that he gave them and all the gifts that he gave them, that they could literally build a utopia, a heaven on earth with what they had to work with. You see where I'm coming from? What if? What if we could? What if we could do what it is we're trying to do here at the Knights of the Round Table? What if we could get trillions of billions of people around the world to listen to the common sense that we're talking about? What if we could get them to put their differences and their religious beliefs aside? What if we could get them to put down their weapons, their guns, and their filthy mouths and start respecting one another? What if we could get them to raise their children in love and peace and harmony? What if we could get them to go down there and find that neighbor that needs his grass mowed and mowed the grass? What if we could get them to go over and find that baby that needs food in his mouth and do it? We're talking about actions.
They're addicted to the government. They feel like they can't live without a government. You know?
Yep.
And this is a huge, huge concern. Because even just during the week, I think I proved that we don't need a government.
We don't. You know?
That's just it, though. Hold on. Government is ruling body. And every single religion that we have just talked about is a ruling body.
So
we can do without both of them. We don't need religion to tell us that, you know, there is or isn't a God. You can believe in a God and not have a religion.
So what if
you can believe in the words that the guy you call Jesus, which technically is Yeshua.
What if
you know, you can believe all that and not have to have a building that you drag people to and, you know, scream hellfire and damnation down at them. You don't need any of that.
What if we took and we got rid of every organized religion, we got rid of every organized government, and I personally, because I believe in Jesus and I believe in God, I walk that path myself, and I represent my personal beliefs by, you know, loving and doing everything good, and you did the same thing with whatever divine inner deity that you believe in or don't believe in. What if we did all the things that I'm talking about with a little bit of common sense, and we started taking care of one another? You know, in that particular instance, nobody's wrong, nobody's right, nobody's fighting, nobody's starving, nobody's sick. We're all doing everything that we can as humans to try to bring about a world that is unlike anything that humanity has seen yet. What if?
I see one problem with that, and that's that not everyone's going to do it, so we have to focus on looking for the telltale signs of the people who are not going to do it, so that we can refuse to be in contact with those people once they show us that they are what they are, once they show us their colors of being a psychopath, because those are the people that are the problem.
Well, and
those are the people that create government, they create religion, they create strife, create war.
My wife,
because it's good for them.
My wife listens to
Mike Jones, is it?
Good. My wife listens to Joyce Myers, and Joyce Myers had a really good point that Christians are supposed to hang around even non-Christians and non-believers as long as they are affecting a positive way. But when they get to the point where they become infected by that person, they're supposed to walk away. So Thomas, what you were talking about seeing people that are, you know, just not going to try to do anything positive for humanity, we walk away from those people, not to allow them to starve or die or anything like that, but to let them understand that we don't agree with the way that they're treating others, you know. And my biggest part of my belief is if I live my life and I lead by example, and other people around me see the way that I'm leading my life, and they feel that in their life, hey, Oshaziz, every time he sees somebody, he tells them he loves them. I kind of like that. And so they start doing it. Or every time Oshaziz leaves my house, he gives me a hug, you know. I kind of like that. And so he does that. So if we lead by example, that's the spiritual journey that I'm on. That's where I'm coming from. And so when these individuals aren't living, you know, I go there, I try to be as good as I can to them, and they just, you know, filthy, hateful, try to harm me or my family or whatever, and I walk away from them. You know, standing over there by yourself, being in the minority where, you know, it gets lonely over there, I'd think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How you doing, Michael?
Well, yeah, I'm doing good. I was listening, and I heard Thomas. Were you speaking about? Could you please repeat what you were saying a second ago about the about how you worship or the church or something like that. I can't remember what you were saying.
You're probably referring to what I was saying is that we don't need organized buildings and religions and whatnot to do that worship, to have those beliefs.
Churches in your heart.
We don't need a government to basically build roads. It's the same thing. I mean, if the government goes away, roads won't just suddenly stop being built. People won't stop being helped that have fallen down. Other people will stand up and do something about that. They were doing it before government came along. And, you know, your spiritual beliefs aren't going to just vanish into the void just because, you know, your local church disappeared. Like, say, you know, somebody knocked the building down. Say there's an earthquake and it fell. The people who believe what they believe are still going to believe it. So if we could just kind of get to a point where we accept that other people are not going to believe what we believe.
Hey, I got to share a comment real quick, guys.
I guess, okay, the reason why, and can I comment on what you just said there, Thomas?
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. When one considers the nature of what God is, okay, or what the Creator is, and if one discovers that God is a loving communion of persons, okay, a loving communion of persons, and he made man in his own image and likeness, okay, male and female, he created them, he created them in his own image and likeness, therefore man is called to live in a loving communion. Okay, so if we're going to worship or if we're going to do anything, then it would be better to be in a communion of persons in that activity.
Yeah, okay? But not under a hierarchy.
And
God, right, God is the leader.
Well, actually, the hierarchy isn't even the problem. The problem is coercion.
But God is, God is my belief is the leader.
Because somebody holds you at gunpoint and won't let you leave, or are you there because you're totally voluntarily there?
You're supposed to be there because it's supposed to be, you're supposed to be engaging in a loving relationship. It should be of your own volition, freely, exactly, willingly, lovingly going there. It shouldn't be under a penalty of mortal sin or anything else.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's not for him, it's for us. We need it. He doesn't need it, you know.
Right.
It's like, and but the other thing that I would also say is I think it would be important to have some kind of authority, an official authority in the world, to be able to differentiate and distinguish with an authority, things like what's right from wrong. If there was a God, and if God did come into this world, if he did, and if he left an official authority in the world to determine things that we don't find, or I should say situations or circumstances that we don't find expressly written in that old book, okay, then what do we do then? If it's not written in the book, well, what are we supposed to do? There has to be some kind of official authority that makes a decision. This is right and this is wrong. You see what I'm saying? Like, for instance, like cloning. Human cloning isn't mentioned in that old book. Well, what's the official thing on that? I mean, is it left up to our own individual opinions? Or does he know what's right from wrong, and he has an official body that makes a determination as what is right and wrong? It's just something to consider.
Yeah. Hey, before we get too far in,
ground, though, because the people who push to get into that position are almost always psychopaths, and they're going to create the exact opposite of whatever it is that you were putting them into power to do.
Yeah, I understand.
I understand
exactly what you guys are saying, and I respect you guys. I just wanted to make that comment, and then I was gonna head off. Well, you guys are awesome.
Stick around if you can. I'd love to have you here, brother. I might say something stupid. I might need your back.
Look. All right, I'll just be waiting in the wings if you guys.
I want to read out a comment that I just read in the chat room, and Cultist kind of answered to it, but it brought a tear to my eye. Really did.
He's a good boy.
Truthseeker 22 out there in the chat room. He said, "I am truly honored." That wasn't the one I was looking for. No, it was Stalker. Sorry about that. It says you people are one of the most friendly people on the internet, and that just I'm telling you, when I read that, it put a tear in my eye, because that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to bring about, people of like minds to this group. And you know, I look at and listen to you guys all the time, and I know your hearts because, you know, we've been together so long. And I look up at Michael's picture up on there, and I see this guy standing on a hill, out, and, you know, the whole world is out before him to go out and experience. And I know Michael from, you know, long ago, and he's his heart, it's in the right place. He's a wonderful individual, as everyone here, Muddy and Cultist and Thomas and who else we got in there, Dublin. You know, we're from all different points of the globe, and we're all at the point in our crossroads in life to where we see that there's something in this world that just isn't right, and we're actually trying to come together and at the very least comfort one another, to, you know, point out these things and try to help somebody, you know, with some good advice or whatever. Does anybody here think that I'm off base with what I just said?
No, you've been great there. Keep firing an old piston.
You're totally off base, Shazins.
Just kidding. When I read that comment, it warmed my heart, because it tells me that we are making a difference. If not in just one person's life, you know, I said this I don't know how many times. If we could save one life around the world, that is worth its weight in gold. You know, and I don't see that there's one worthless individual anywhere. And every time we lose a life, we lose part of humanity. That it's painful. It's painful to hear that somebody suffers. It's painful to hear that somebody dies. It's painful to hear that there's a starving baby in the world. It's painful to hear that somebody's sad or crying. You know, you can call Shaziz, King Shaziz the Terrible, a softy or whatever. But truly, my heart's like a sponge, and whenever I'm around negativity, I feel negative. When I'm around positivity, I feel overjoyed. And when I see comments like that up in the chat room, that tells me that I got out of bed this morning, and it wasn't a waste of my time.
Mm-hmm. It's a good feeling to wake up like that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Everything hasn't just been a complete waste of time. That we are slowly getting through to people, and we are awakening the crowd.
Well, thank you very much, Stalker, for that comment. It truly threw a positive pebble in my day.
Yeah. Speechless.
Yeah.
So, and all that just because I was going to send him, you know, 50 cents worth of 555 timers.
So you bribed him.
yeah, bribed him for his love.
Oh, gosh. You guys... I can't thank you guys enough. I'm serious. And to Wake Radio and No Borders Radio and We Roar and all the other networks, I can't thank you guys enough, because, you know, everyone needs to feel like they're needed for something. Everyone needs to feel like they've got a purpose. And together, you guys have made me feel like I got a purpose, as I hope that I've done the same for you. I hope that I've reciprocated the love and the peace and the helpfulness that you guys have given me. I hope that I put a contribution in there that affects you in a positive way. And then, to me, that is what the whole Knights of the Round Table was about, bringing us all together at this table to solve problems and create solutions. So when I brought this controversial subject to the table, it wasn't to start off an epic war between the atheists and the Christians. It wasn't to try to prove or disprove my own personal beliefs. It was about to put the question out there. What if? You know, what if we were given all this stuff and we could make a difference? I see that we are making a difference, you know.
Yeah, we're already making a difference, mate. That is very true. We're proactive, and you know, I mean, what?
Got it. Imagine
you gotta be proactive, don't you?
Imagine if we could get everyone to this table. Imagine if we could get everyone, your friends and your family, to this table, and everybody could sit down and respect one another's differences, and we could actually look at things that need to be fixed. And then, you know, somebody who's not speaking at the moment, like, you know, earlier whenever I was playing that pod, I asked you if you would go and search up the meaning of that name. You know, we got something accomplished. However small it may sound, we got something accomplished. But if somebody wasn't speaking at the time and they seen that something needed to be done, you know, hey, go over and shut that door. The cold air is getting in. Somebody gets up and shuts the door and we're working together. I saw this video one time and it was just so unrealistic to me, but so overwhelming at the same time. There was this planet where everyone on this planet was like all crowded around together and spending time with one another, and somebody would say, does anybody need any corn? You know, and people would raise their hand. Does anybody need any water? And people would raise their hand, and whoever had whatever was needed would give it to them, and they were spending their entire existence just taking care of one another. You know, they weren't driving around in fancy cars, and they weren't building up a stairway to heaven that may be paved with gold or anything like that. They were just taking care of each other's basic necessities. And when I saw this and it actually absorbed in to its fullest extent, it was overwhelming, because that's almost what we're talking about doing or wanting to do here, is to get people to actually take care of one another. Without, you know, want for something in return. The whole selfless act thing. Hint, hint.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's.
We'll never get bored of that, will we?
No. We crack each other up. You know, look, guys. At the end of the day, what you do when you get up in the morning, it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference.
Yep. If you wake up positive and decide that you're going to do something good for the day, that's what you'll achieve. If you wake up negative and think it's all over and you've had a gutful, well, you reap what you sow.
Well, yeah, that's right. The seeds you plant will be the fruits of tomorrow.
Exactly. You know, if you be positive and work hard today, you will reap those benefits tomorrow, without a doubt.
But I say we all take a quick music break and get some coffee and regroup and all that kind of stuff. And
sounds
so
like a plan, buddy.
I need a good tune to play right there. I'm gonna play Hank Williams.
I'm gonna play Hank Williams.
All right. Well, everybody, stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and I hope that you found something positive in what we've talked about. So. We're going to take a music break, get some coffee, regroup, and come back and sit at the table. Peace and love, everybody.
Thank you.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch a cat. Fish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. Pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stop them out and you can't make them run, cause we're them old boys raised on shotgun. We say grace, we say ma'am, and you ain't into that, but don't give a damn. We're from North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. Skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
In constant sorrow all through his day. Trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that is
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible here. We've been joined by another one of the Knights of the Round Table. Shannon's here. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Anyway, we're talking about a really controversial subject today. And so with that said, just about everything's on the table. Oh, Shaziz is kind of like a freak of nature. You know, I'm the kind of guy, I like to go to like a birthday party or any party for that matter when I could sit back in the background by myself in the corner and watch everybody. You know, like at Christmas time when little children opening their presents and everybody's around and they're doing the family thing. And I just like, I absorb the positivity in the room around holidays and birthdays when families come together and they share their love with one another. And for some reason, I find this pleasure in seeing joy on people's faces and, you know, tears well up in somebody's eyes when they're overwhelmed by something wonderful that was just either given to them or a hug that they got from a loved one or whatever. So, you know, is it just me or does anybody out there even remotely have that same feeling in their heart when they see something good in the world? Anybody? Okay, well, that sure did shut everybody up in the house, didn't it? How you doing, Shannon?
I'm fine. I'm sorry. I missed it. My son was talking to me. I apologize.
Wow. Sorry. I just went on an epic rant and Shannon missed it.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Shaziz. Whenever you see acts of human kindness, it's always an inspiration, isn't it?
Yeah, and so, you know, with that said, when I watch movies, you know, okay, I'm going to tell a secret about myself. I'll watch movies where, you know, there's some sort of drama going on and then humanity comes together and they overcome everything. And as they're at their moment of triumph and everybody's coming together and I feel all the love and I feel all of humanity, you know, working towards one another, I start to well up inside and I get tears rolling down my eyes because to me, it's a glorious thing to see and be part of, even if it's just a movie, you know. The angels come in and they save the good-hearted soul or whatever, or the little child speaks up and he brings about some common sense that the adults begin to listen and everybody is coming together and it's love. So, yeah, old crazy old King Shaziz the Terrible, I cried during a happy movie, you know. When I see that these two loved ones who had spent the entire movie missing each other by a second or a two or something else, some outside influence keeping them apart, and then suddenly for, you know, at the end of the movie they somehow get together and then that love is blossomed into you know, a future life form or whatever, you know. So, you know,
there's nothing as beautiful as the restoration of relationship, you know, and I think that's something that when you have people that, you know, particularly family members, for whatever reason, you know, they had a bit of a falling out, and then maybe years go by, maybe decades, and then, you know, they get back together and they forgive one another. It's a wonderful thing about forgiveness, you know. We have, when people hurt us and we're offended, you know, we tend to remember those things, and we hold on to them, and we carry them around in a sack on our backs, and they weigh us down. But I think one of the great things to do is to empty that bag and just empty it and just forgive. And it's a freeing thing. It's like we've cut the bonds of this weight that's been holding us down and dragging us down, and we just feel so light. We're just like we have wings. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever tried it, but it's something to consider. Another thing too that you were talking about a second ago there, Shaziz, is, you know, is love and human acts of kindness. I think, you know, one of the best things to do to get ourselves out of feelings of depression or anything like that is to stop thinking about ourselves and look in the direction to help someone else, you know. And, you know, we have two eyes to look outside of ourselves, you know, and to focus our attention on the other. And I think when we do that, as soon as we start doing that, as soon as we start thinking about helping someone else and doing some act of charity or kindness to someone else that may need it, we forget about ourselves, you know?
Yeah, that empty...
I think the happiest times in our life have been when we haven't been thinking about ourselves, you know? It's like when we've been thinking about someone else, I think those are the happiest times in our lives.
That empty void in the human heart can be easily filled by helping somebody to live a life just a hair bit better than the one that you had to go through. Am I wrong?
No, you're dead right, mate. You're dead right.
I struggled with something probably about 8 years ago that... A lady had passed away in my arms on the highway, and at the time, I struggled with that because, you know, I couldn't understand at the time why God, you know, this is my question at the time was, God, why would you allow this woman, you know, to go through this pain? Because I prayed upon her at the time that she was passing, and I said, you know, please God, take her pain away. And she took her last breath with me. And I struggled with that for a long time, and I ended up in depression and anxiety. And so for a long time, I struggled with that. But then there came a time where I learned how to control that with the prayer. And I prayed every time any anxiety or my depression would come on. And since then, you know, I've been able to control this by God, with God. And so, you know, I believe that he just works in such wonderful ways with the love and caring of people. And I've met so many people lately that, whether they are Christian or not, but they have a love for each other. Well, and it's just... it's wonderful.
The amazing thing that I just took away from your story, Shannon, was you was in the right place at the right time for that lady to have somebody holding them in her arms and comfort, you know, at that time.
It really is hard for me. I mean, I cry even to this day, because still to this day I do not know what her real face looked like. And I always wanted to try to contact the one person out of that wreck that lived, and that was her daughter. And there was 8 people in that wreck.
Nobody wants to die alone, you know? You held that.
I always have wanted to contact her daughter and say, I want you to know that in your mom's passing, she was not alone.
Yeah.
You know, she was not alone.
You know, and that
shows... Sorry, you hear the baby crying in the background.
No, that's the wonder of life. You know, you held that lady in your arms, and you stayed there with her till the end, and that, to me, that's what we're talking about. This is what we can do for
each other. I think, you know, that there's a lot to say about the gift of presence, you know, and you were present for that person at that time. I think it's the greatest gift that we can give to one another, is the gift of our presence. Physical presence, our focus, our attention. A lot of times I think parents might be tempted to, in a similar vein, they might be tempted to give their children things and stuff, but kids don't want things or stuff. They want parents. And that is the greatest gift that you can give them, your time, the gift of yourself and time. And it's an eternal gift, because when they grow into adulthood, they'll remember that sacred time, that eternal moment that you spent with them.
Yeah.
They won't remember their toy.
When those little...
I have stopped celebrating my children's birthdays. Well, we celebrate their birthdays, but I have stopped doing presents. It's been a long time since I've done this. We always go somewhere, me and my kids, because that is such a more memorable thing to them than toys or a material thing. And so, you know, that's something that I wish a lot of people could do.
There is a spiritual longing in us that's only satisfied by spiritual things.
Yeah, those little guys and gals, they look up at you with them wonderful little beady eyes, and all they want is, they want to know that they're loved. And, you know,
And you're giving them a spiritual gift, Shaziz. It's the spiritual gift of love. And here's the cool thing. When you give spiritual gifts, they multiply. They multiply.
That's why
they're when you divide them, they multiply. When you give away, you can't divide material things, but you can with spiritual things.
That's why I keep talking about the positive pebble. You know, you throw that positive pebble out there. How bad could it be? You know, to throw a bit of love or a little bit of hope somebody's direction. You know, if that positive pebble hits the pond and it spreads hope and love across the land, how bad could it be? You know?
Maybe we should stop looking at it as a pebble and realize that it's not a pebble that you're tossing out there. It's a seed.
Well, you know, I use both.
Out there, it will grow and multiply.
I use both analogies.
The ripple effect.
I use both analogies because the seed that you plant will be the future fruits of all humanity, but the pebble in the pond is something you can put in your head and you can think, you know. I can either throw a rock through your window or I can throw a little bit of love through your heart, you know.
The way I look at your pebble analogy, Shaziz, is that you're the pebble, what you're saying is the pebble, and the water surrounding where you land is all the people you're getting through to, and it has that ripple effect. It just channels outwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Affecting everything around you. That's the pebble analogy. You know, we put these things out there. We talk about these subjects. And we do. We affect thousands of people through these radio shows. You know, and that's the ripple in the water effect from that pebble that we've just thrown out there.
And the seeds that Thomas was talking about. You know, we're planting the seeds. While we're throwing our pebbles out there, you know?
Yeah. Yep. It's the, you know, the legacy we leave behind, isn't it? When we plant the seeds today, and our children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, they get to reap the benefits from it. You know? Hopefully a better world. Hopefully a world without a tyrannic government.
You know, you hit on something. You hit on a key there. Sometimes when you plant those seeds, you don't always get to reap the benefits. You don't always get to, you know, be there when that first apple comes off the tree to enjoy it, you know. But that worthy cause, you know, one apple tree could feed a lot of people, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're right. It's not something that we are likely to reap the benefits from in, you know, the sense of picking the fruit ourselves. It's knowing that the fruit will be there for our future generations, that is our reward.
Well, if you think about it, somebody did it for us, or we wouldn't be able to have this conversation, you know. Now, granted, there was somebody out there trying to chop down the trees as they were growing, but there was also somebody back there who was trying to put, you know, somebody put good morals in me and you and everybody in this round table. Somebody put some good intentions in our hearts, and so those were the seeds that were planted that we are now bearing the fruit of somebody else's labor before us, you know, our founding fathers and mothers and sisters and so on down the line, and hopefully by our actions today and the words that we put out there will do the same for our future generations. And to me, that's a noble cause, you know.
Doesn't get much more noble than that, to be honest, mate.
Well, like I said, that comment Stalker put in the room, it put a tear in my eye because, dude, that's what it's all about. You know, Shannon holding somebody in their last moments, you know.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to tell you how amazing that is, you know. I mean, granted, I would be sad to have to hold somebody, but on the other sense, I would be overwhelmed with joy because I knew that that I was there at the most important time of need. You know, somebody's passing. Nobody wants to be alone when they're passing on into another world, because you're
exactly
going into, you know, something, the unknown. But
yep,
the power of the love that was going on at that point in time is just, it's what we need. It's the solution that we need around this table. It's something that we can all enact. We don't have to have money to spread love. You know, we don't have to have power to spread love. But when we got everybody together at this table, there is a multiple amount of energy out there that can be multiplied upon by just going out and simply smiling on a brother or giving somebody something that they need, you know. This is an amazing thing that's happening, and I hope that you all appreciate and thank whatever creator you thank for all the blessings in your life. I hope that you guys realize how important this time right here and now is, you know, what we're doing.
Yep. That's very true.
I think probably the best thank you can give to that creator that you may or may not believe in is to basically use those benefits that you got, those things you have to be thankful for, to help someone else and make them thankful for what you can do for them.
Yep.
Get them on their feet. Get them, into a better state in their life so that they can perpetrate it on to other people, pass it forward.
And I know a lot of individuals in this one particular area who do a lot of just what you just said, Thomas.
Yep.
I ain't mentioning no names, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of loving hearts in this table.
Yep, there most certainly is, mate. There most certainly is. And,
I say that my life is truly blessed for being able to sit down at the table with wonderful individuals such as yourself. And those folks out there who are listening, you're welcome to come sit down at the table too. And as a matter of fact, we encourage it. As many people, we could get it around the table. We may have to expand Skype if we have to in order to get everybody at the table.
We have ways and means of achieving these things.
It's a very long table, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very round, though.
Yeah.
It is. Very round.
It's a
I've said this before, I feel like I'm one of the richest people in the world because of all you guys. Nothing else.
Yeah.
You guys. I just feel like I fit. And I absolutely enjoy, male stalker there, some 555 timers, for his project he's got going on there. And, I help people out here and there with the cryptocurrency that I've managed to do well out of because somebody just gave me a handful. And I've recruited a bunch of people. Buddy, mute yourself. Get rid of them speakers. Get rid of them speakers, buddy.
We got a lot of money.
I was just given a whole heap of this cryptocurrency that wasn't worth anything at the time, but it grew and it is now worth a reasonable amount of money, and I use that money to help people. And that, I tell you what, is the greatest feeling I've ever had in my life.
That
it's
person
just being able to selflessly help people flat out, just take that. Like, you need this, just take that.
Hey, cultists. That person behind the scenes that blessed you with the finances to be able to reap the fruits, and I'm telling you, we know who we're talking about. But there we were talking about where Thomas mentioned planting the seed, man. We planted the seed, or somebody planted the seed, and it come about, and so I like the positive pebble in the pond thing because it's short and sweet, but planting a seed is just as important because that's what's actually going to grow the fruit. And planting a seed, to me, is whenever you figure out a solution to a problem, you get up off the couch, you go over, you mow your neighbor's lawn, or you go down the street and you give this person a piece of bread who's starving, and those are the solutions. Those are the ripples in the pond that I keep, trying to say.
Yep. That's awesome. We achieve a lot, mate. We achieve a lot with what we do.
Well,
we all should be very proud of what we do as well, guys. It takes a lot of guts to stand up here and do what we do, because at the end of the day, if we're noticed by the wrong crowd, we're going to have issues. Simple.
Yeah.
I mean, in your country, you can be detained indefinitely for what we do here. We speak out about the government all the time. We are the enemy.
But you know what I'll be saying while I'm in prison and being tortured and all that kind of stuff all the way up to my death? I will be saying, live life and love, peace and power to the people,
I'm quite happy to be a martyr.
are you in Queensland?
No, mate, no. I'm in the middle of the South Australian desert in a little town called Roxby Downs.
All right, now, in Queensland, they brought in the Star Courts, and they can just say you're a biker and part of a gang and just throw the keys away.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit more complex than that because, see, these are social motorcycle clubs. You know, and the same as in anything else. I mean, heck, there's criminals in the freaking police force. So why don't we ban the police force, you know? Why don't we ban motorcycle clubs? Because, you know, there's a couple of bad eggs in amongst them. There's a million bad eggs in amongst the coppers. So why don't we abolish them? Anyone in a blue uniform, mate, we'll lock them up.
Yeah.
By the use of the Star Courts, they circumvent all the normal habeas corpus and all that. They just say basically, because you're a member of this motorbike club, you are guilty of being a criminal.
Hey,
even
Dublin.
If you've never done a criminal act in your life. And they throw you in jail and that's it. You don't get to be innocent or,
hey,
or
Dublin.
Guilty. You're just guilty, end of story.
It is a little bit more complicated than that over here, Dub, because they can't just lock them up.
Hey, Dublin.
They have to take them to court and they have to prove that they were doing something wrong. What they did was they outlawed wearing your jackets, like with your emblem on the back, like the club emblem on the back. That's what's been outlawed. So anyone caught wearing a vest or a jacket, they're breaking the law, as far as the government's concerned.
Yeah, but you know?
But at the end of the day, you should be able to wear whatever you want. Like our police force is turning into the flaming fashion police, mate.
They got nothing to do with it.
Sounds like
they'll
go around
wearing Nazi stickers
on their hats, mate.
Yeah, guys, but listen, you know, if the New World Order / government or whatever come around to arrest the Knights of the Round Table, they're going to look kind of goofy as we're carrying around heart-shaped shields, handing people sandwiches and water and stuff like that, you know. This one ruthless gang we are, you know?
Yeah, we are. We're a force to be reckoned with, mate, because we've got loud mouths and guts to follow it.
Yeah, they don't call me King Shaziz the Terrible for nothing. I'm rotten.
Honorable Light Corpus.
Yeah.
Honorable being the operative word, mate. I will not let anything happen to any one of you.
I love you guys, man. This is an amazing thing, and I just think we need to keep the ball rolling. We let off this show talking about the Antichrist, whether or not people believe that Obama was the Antichrist. We talked about fear. We talked about the Bible. We talked about atheists. We talked about everything under the sun. You know, we come together from all different points of the globe, and we're bringing about you know, some positive ideas that we set down on the table, and we're able to sit here. Not one of us has ever, you know, called each other out and just, you know, cussed each other up and down a storm because we didn't believe in what we said. We respectfully traded our views and our opinions, and we all come to the same consensus. We want our children to grow up in a better world. And so, to me, that's that. We're doing what it is that we set out to do. Am I wrong?
No, you're dead right, mate. Dead right. This is, you know, what we do every week, and we'll continue to do it. You know? We'll continue to throw their positive pebbles out there, and I think things are going to become a little bit more proactive. Yeah, things are going to become a little bit more proactive again once I get over there.
We got an agreement here. Me and Cultus is going to throw positive pebbles, and we got Thomas is going to be planting seeds, and so we're getting something done.
Come on, Connie, have a seat.
I'm going to wear my shield apart, okay?
All right. Yes. Yay!
I'll be your little rock.
Yeah.
So we got a guardian of truth, faith, and justice holding a heart shield. We've got Cultus and I paving the road with positive pebbles, and we've got Thomas following behind, planting the seeds of hope and peace and love. So, you know, where'd Marty go? What's he going to help us do?
He's going to have poems.
Yeah, they'll keep us entertained while we go on this long journey. And what's Michael got? He's going to be our spiritual guidance, I guess.
We need a philosopher.
Yeah, our philosopher.
So I want to put things back into perspective.
So
I'd be delighted.
I know.
So the Knights of the Round Table are on this spiritual journey around the world, spreading peace, hope, and love, and we're probably being followed by the elite and the the evil one, and they're probably going to want to try to capture us, but in the process, we're building up an army as we go, because everyone out there has to agree that, you know, you want peace, love, and harmony in your life, you know, whether you're a believer or a non-believer in a higher power. You want your children to grow up in a world where you don't have to worry about ducking and dodging and diving and some terrorist being under your bed every 5 seconds, you know, or the drop bear jumping on cultist's neck. I mean, if I'm looking at Cultus's picture right now, he's got a picture of him with a solder sucker up to his brain.
I was just seeing what information I could extract, dude.
Well, did you get enough out of it?
There was nothing.
I think you're there just molding it together. I don't think you're extracting.
There was nothing in there, dude. Couldn't get anything out.
He heard a big gust of wind and an echo whenever he popped the cork. Hello, hello, hello.
If I'm trying to torture my left ear, I hold my hand up to my right ear, I can do puppet shows.
And we got Thomas. I love his picture. He's got a top hat and one of those steampunk glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. We are somewhat of a crew, aren't we?
We're the most random bunch of misfits that fit together so perfectly that you'll ever meet.
Well, and the point to take away from what you just said is, here we got people who, you know, have things in common who we're not all alike. We got differences. We got differences in opinions, but we have one common denominator amongst all of us. We want a better world. You know?
Yep.
How wrong could we be?
Absolutely. Yep, even if you're an atheist, you still want a better world.
Yeah.
You know? At the end of the day, that's what we all want, unless you're one of the elite, in which case you just want a better world for yourself and screw everyone else. But, you know, we want a better world for everyone. You know, let's make it a fair, even, just place to live.
Yeah,
you know, no more starving babies in Ethiopia while, you know, the local bloody supermarket's throwing out $500,000 worth of food a week because it goes off and no one purchases it.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. You know, the amount of food that this planet wastes, let alone the amount of money that certain governments waste in this country, in this world, is absolutely and utterly unforgivable while there are people starving in this world.
Yeah,
it is just absolute and utter disgrace, and the people who allow this to happen, they should be absolutely and utterly ashamed of themselves.
Yep, you can look up the numbers. It costs billions and even trillions of dollars to buy all the bombs and the fuel and everything it takes to go over and mop a country into a third world status, or even worse, back into the Stone Age. And it only takes, I can go down to my local Quick Trip and buy a sandwich for $1.99 and take it over and hand it to a hungry person. So,
yep.
With all that billions and trillions wasted on wars and destruction and death and all this kind of stuff, imagine how many mouths could have been fed. Imagine how many shirts could have been put on somebody's back, you know?
Yep. No, that's the point right there, is, you know.
And that's ultimately how you win wars, is you stop fighting and you get together and actually come to some sort of commonality.
Yep. Yeah.
You take care of each other instead of trying to kill each other.
So I say we put the Knights of the Round Table in temporary charge of the world, and we get everybody to peace and love and all that, and then we step down and let everybody do it on their own. What do you think?
Yep. That's the plan.
So we need to grow the Knights of the Round Table. We need to get more people at the table with more positive ideas. We'll get everything situated. Then everybody, once they got all the love and peace and heart in their life that they can, you know, possibly withstand, then we let everybody raise their families, you know, in peace, love, and harmony, you know?
Yep.
Now, that sounds like a science fiction kind of, you know, okay, we can't create a utopia because we can't get everyone to agree. We can't create a heaven on earth. But tell me, if anyone here disagrees with the fact that we have all the resources necessary to feed every living creature on this planet, and then some.
Absolutely. I do not disagree.
We do. Well said, Dan.
One single bomb. One single bomb took out thousands of people. One single bomb in an instant eradicated thousands of lives. Two different cities in the world, over in Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In one single instant, thousands of lives were just gone, just like that, just a flash. A big, giant chunk of humanity was just stripped away from each and every one of us. A big piece of the missing puzzle that we're talking about being able to create the heaven on earth, the utopia, so to speak, just got yanked away from humanity. And guess who did it? It wasn't the hand of God who dropped that bomb. It was a man who dropped that bomb.
Yep.
Right.
So, what if that man, instead of dropping that bomb, would have dropped some flowers instead, you know? Somebody's going to come out and start yelling, "You just trashed my yard. I got through sweeping it up, and you just jumped all these flowers on it." You know?
No, but you're dead right. That's exactly what would happen, you know?
Or they were allergic.
Yeah, I got allergies. I love you, Shannon. That's it. I got allergies, and you just made me sneeze. Thanks a
lot.
Maybe
we can do it organically. I don't know.
But, you know, sneezing by just its definition is better than dying and
right.
bleeding to death.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if they would have dropped flowers instead of a bomb, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And,
yes.
you know, humanity's got to wake up, because on the path that we are on, I know, and I've watched this in my head over and over, the terrible things that are to come on the path that we're on right now. And I don't want to see anyone go through that. I mean, for Pete's sake,
yes.
who could stand there and watch as a neighbor's house burned down, knowing that they're losing all their worldly possessions? They're losing their home. They're losing their pictures of their family. They're losing their heritage, whatever. You know, they might have some picture that could never, ever be replaced. The only reminder of a past loved one is gone in an instant when that house is burned up. Who could stand idly by and not feel something
in
their
heart?
I'll
tell you right now, the one who can stand idly by and watch that and not be affected by it is the enemy.
Yep.
People who operate that way, those are the enemy, and those are the people we have got to stop feeding. We've got to stop... giving them the power to do the things that they do. When I say feed, I'm talking like taxes and stuff like
right.
that. That stuff is just basically, it's going into an endless deep void. There is no end to that. You cannot give a psychopath enough to where they will finally stop feeding on you. They will still keep draining you until you are completely dead.
Yeah.
And they will not care.
So it's the power struggle.
Something I have always not understood is what gratification can someone get to blow up the world? You're not going to be, you're dead. Who's going to be like, oh, good job?
Metallica sings.
I don't understand that.
Metallica sings a song about King Nothing. Have you all ever heard that song?
Yeah. Where's your crown? King Nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
You destroyed everything. You've got nothing left. So now, you've ruined the world.
You're king of this.
And sometimes,
what are you now left in control of? A wasted, barren land. Like, good on you. Hey, applause for you, mate.
And I've always thought of as our children are in school, and I'm not against sports at all. My son loves sports, but we teach them as they're playing these sports of who's the winner. Okay, why can we not have a sport that is played for the fun, not for who's the winner? Why? Because it needs to end? We'll put a time limit on it.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody's the winner here. We all had fun. You know, it's 5 o'clock, let's stop the game. Why?
Yeah.
You know, we teach right. kids that you have to be on top.
How about we adjust that, and instead of, saying that nobody's the winner, how about we say that there is a winner, but the winner is basically the person who learned.
Yeah.
So if everybody learned, then everybody wins.
Right. Or,
How about anyone who tried as a winner?
Yeah. You took that step. You made that step
that you may have been
scared to do.
Yeah.
Because, see, my son has a disability. He cannot play sports for the mere fact that because you're competing, he can't keep up with that.
Yeah.
If it's just for the fun of it, then he can rest when he needs to. He can, because, we don't have a time, yes, we're going to quit playing, but there needs to be no winner here.
Yeah.
So my son, he can't be in the football and the basketball, the things that he loves to do, because you have to have a winner. But in the school systems, you know.
In your version of the deal, everyone there is a winner because they walk away with some warmness in their heart that they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
We had a good day. We had a fun day. Thanks for playing. You know, I'm glad that I got to spend time with you and play this game with you instead of, hey, we kicked your butt.
Yes.
Let's do that again.
But going back to Thomas's deal about feeding the beast that's eating us alive, you know, if I hand the enemy a bullet and he shoots me, does that make me the stupid one?
Well, you know, if we keep manufacturing arms and keep manufacturing, you know, weapons of any form of destruction, you know, who is really to blame? You know, you keep going to work in a place where they make that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, being a government official or, you know, being a police officer. Hey. You know, you either make a conscious decision to do things differently or, yeah, you are to blame.
Some call it guilt by association, you know. If I built the bullet and they dropped it, does that make me responsible, you know? If I built a bomb or whatever?
You should never have built that in the first place. Instead of, mate, you want to do it, you do it on your bloody own. And I'm gonna do everything in my power to stop you.
Well, right. We're going to let everybody else know what you're building in here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go out and scream to the world and tell them what you're up to, mate. And we're coming back in force and you are gone.
Yeah.
You know, this, oh, I have to conform, I'm going to lose my freedom, lose my houses. You know what? Grow up.
Hey,
all right?
You know
what?
That's
the reason why we're in this damn position is because you're all chicken and you're scared and you hide and you just want to go, oh, just if you just leave me with my possessions and I have my freedom, I'll be okay. You know, just please don't do anything to me. No, enough. It's time to stand up and say, oi, get out of that chair. We're taking over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And don't point one finger. I mean,
no, you know, mate. It's a big wide arc.
If somebody's stealing from you and somebody else is holding you down while they're stealing from you,
yeah,
then
you
need to be mad at both of them, man.
Yep.
Well,
they both need to go.
If you point one finger at somebody else, there's three of them pointing back at you.
That is the most truthful statement ever. When you are pointing at something, you always have three pointing back.
You know, yep. There's a Chinese have a saying, he who lives in glass house should not throw stone, and... it didn't bounce back and hit you in the eye, and you shouldn't have done it to begin with.
Should have done it the first place.
But in the Bible, it said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And so here at the round table, we're not talking about judging one another. We're just talking about using some common sense and using what we have available to making the world a better place. Nobody here is judging each other. You know, like I said, we don't all agree with each other as far as our personal religious spiritual journeys, but one thing we do agree on is Cultus wants his children to be raised in a decent world. Michael, same thing. Shannon wants the same thing for her child. She wants peace and love for her child, a decent world to live in. Thomas wants the same thing. Michael wants the same thing. And Muddy wants the same thing. And these are folks from different points of the globe who have actually came together and can see eye to eye. Where are we going wrong? Somebody point out what we're doing wrong.
It's not us, mate.
Well,
that's the bottom line. It's not us.
Live life and love and lead by example.
It is, but it isn't.
Yeah, it's very much not.
We have to put these people to stop doing what they're doing. So our responsibility is that we haven't stopped them yet. That's what we need to do. We need to put a stop to this.
Well, we're throwing positive pebbles and roadblocks in front of them, because now that people are actually listening into what it is that we're saying and thinking about, you know, consequences and ideas of what could or couldn't happen, now they're thinking about, maybe I ought to keep an eye on this turkey over here that's getting ready to build this bomb, because he's going to go kill some of my brothers and sisters around the world. You know?
Yep.
Right.
I'm going to the Knights of the Round Table, and I'm going to tell them and the world what's going on.
Yep.
Let's stop telling on people because their grass is 6 inches too tall. Let's start, you know, spending our efforts and rooting out these people who are really actually doing something terrible, and it's going to, you know, end up seriously hurting people.
Yep.
If you don't like the grass being tall, go mow it.
Thanks, Sir James Swagger in the house.
All right, James Swagger.
Good. I'm actually joining the calls. I have a word with my friend Michael. Michael is slipping. His memory is slipping and his perception is slipping.
Oh, get him.
That's that old age kicking in.
Did you bang your head, Michael? First of all, bang your head. You got contusion. I sent you a picture with all the details, Michael, and you did not see what I was sending to you, Michael.
Well, James, I was amidst this riveting conversation here, and I was unable to tear myself away to get a close
riveting
look at it.
I couldn't have been riveting if I wasn't here, Michael. Sorry, guys. I'm in a little rascal here.
So, James, have you been listening in?
No, I just came home from walking the dog, and my head is fried. I'm absolutely consumed by projects and workload. I've been working 20 hours a day for the last 3 days. I thought I'd just ring in and say hi to everybody.
Well, hello. Somebody want to bring him up to quick speed, like the blah, 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 real quick version? All right, James.
Love is so good.
Yeah, there you go. That sums it up.
Even atheists can agree we want a better world.
Yeah, there you go.
The only people who can't really agree on that are the psychopaths that only care about themselves and they don't care about what happens to anyone else but themselves.
Well, that's what I said before. They want a better world, too, just only for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. They're willing to sacrifice other people.
They're willing to sacrifice us to get where they're going.
I don't think we're in their plans for the future. You guys take a look at the Georgia Guidestones. That's $500 million that they're advocating, okay? That means... what's that make? 6.5 billion people have to get aced for their plans to come to fruition.
Oh yeah, the people that are basically pushing for that plan aren't willing to step up and be the ones getting aced either.
Amen, brother.
By the way, those same people that that made that that edifice there in Georgia, they don't worship the God that the majority of the world worships. They worship that God's adversary.
Yeah,
so that's the reason why they're about the culture of death, and they're not the culture of life.
Think about this for a second, and we're running short on time. But think about this second. What if they were to get their wish, and suddenly over billions of people were to be instantaneously snuffed out of existence? Think about that. How terrible that in my mind, I mean, that's just the most god-awful thing, that in an instant, all these lives no longer exist.
Yeah.
And if that isn't pure evil, then to me, something's wrong. Because like Thomas said, none of them are stepping up forward and saying, well, I'm going to sacrifice myself and all my family and all my relatives so that humanity can go on into the future because the world is overpopulated. Every time I hear that the world is overpopulated, I get a sick feeling in my stomach because it brings me back to visions of, say, Nazi Germany or any other, Holocaust of the world, any other mass die-off or whatever. You know, Hiroshima, what I talked about earlier, in a brief second, just an instantaneous flash, thousands of lives just disappeared from the earth. We lost so bad that day.
An extremely sad moment in history, that one, where a wondrous piece of what could have been good technology was turned into something horridly evil. And
the bomb wasn't prejudice. The bomb did not discriminate between mother, child, old man, young lady, or old lady, or whatever. The bomb was indiscriminate. It just instantaneously vaporized thousands of lives, thousands of human beings that no longer could have the luxury of living out their life, however good or bad that life may have been for them. It was stolen from them.
What something that a lot of people don't really think about too is that was a response. They attacked two cities full of civilians for sending an air raid bomb on a military base, a threat to their people. We were a threat to them, and so they basically sent something to respond to that, and then we responded by wiping out completely innocent people that had nothing to do with that. I mean, that's like basically saying somebody coming up and punching you in the face for something Obama did, you know?
Well, in my mind...
We didn't say it was okay for him to do that.
Exactly. That's a very good analogy. That is the, you know, where the world thinks America sucks, you know. No.
In my mind, it sent a powerful message to the world. And a powerful message that should ring true to every single believer or non-believer out there. Mankind has the power to destroy itself. That was the message that was sent that day. And so we all talk about building a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And we have the power, we have the capabilities right now to literally destroy every living creature on this planet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary thought.
It is.
The plus side of that is that if we have that kind of power to destroy, just imagine the power that we possess to create, too, though.
You're right.
We just have to stop going down that road and start going down the other road. We've got to, you know, the fork is in the road now. Let's turn now.
Yeah.
Turn away from that destruction and death now.
The thing I love about all of this, you know, talk about it, is that we are not people who want to stand at a picket line or whatever and say, oh, well, these are the things that are wrong. We are people that are really wanting to make a change, you know, to get together, to make a change. And some of you have already started that, you know, have started that path.
Well,
and so, you know, I'm not standing here with a sign that says, oh, I don't like this, I don't like this. I'm standing here saying, we are going to try and overcome this and succeed and conquer.
I couldn't have said it better.
Well said. Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you.
Well, you guys, we're down to the wire, and man, I hate this part of the show because it means that we got to wait a whole another week to put the Knights of the Round Table together.
You can wait another hour, can't you, Mike?
If you guys want to keep going, go ahead.
Well,
keep going, letter it.
We can run over for a hair if you like, but I don't want to take
it. You know what I'm seeing? You know what I'm seeing?
When you get tired, just let me know.
We don't have to stop having this discussion just because we're not on the air.
No, that's dead right, and we don't. Every single week, every single week, probably the best part of the show, unfortunately for our listeners, happens once we get off.
Oh, yeah. The conversation. Yeah,
we actually should continue recording and have like a midweek show that we just throw out after discussion, because that's when I think we loosen up a bit and we really come out with all of our ideas, because we're not on the radio anymore. You know, we don't have to worry.
Not a bad idea. Knights of the Round Table after hours.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the garbage we talk once we hang up, you know.
Well, you know what, guys and gals, we got the technology, and so let's make it happen, you know. Hey.
No, worries.
Yeah.
Well, let's take this time right now, and we'll probably run a little bit over, Michael. Sorry about that, but let's take this time to go around the table and let everybody have their word. And since Coltus's pitcher dropped up there first, and he's got the old solder sucker to his ear, let's let him have the first word. Anybody disagree?
Nope.
Go ahead, Coltus.
Well, as usual, just everyone out there, stay safe, behave, and try to make a difference. Stand up. Don't sit down and wait for the next person to stand up for you and start walking. You stand up. You start doing something, because if you sit down and wait, you're going to be waiting for a long, long time. You know? It's important that you stand up now with us. We're standing. We're ready to go. We are going. You know? There are people standing and going. You need to be a part of it. You need to get on board. We need to change this world for the better. And we're not going to do that by just, you know, as Dame Shannon referred to, you know, stand there with a picket sign going, oh, I don't like this, oh, I don't like this. Well, you're not doing anything. You're just having a flame and whinge, you know. So, you know, all you activists out there, that's directly, you know, aimed at you. And I don't care if I cop a little bit of flack for that, because you're wasting your time. No one's listening to you. You're just standing there making a noise, you know. You need to make the change. You need to be a lot more proactive than just standing there with a sign going,
yeah, get up and fix it.
Get up and do something. Dead right, you know. So, you know, if you want to give me some flack, head over to my website. It's cultus.weebly.com. And, you'll find a lot of information over there regarding a lot of different subjects, free energy, cryptocurrency. You'll even find an awesome artist over there. So hop in there and have a look during the week.
With that said, let's let our awesome artist have her piece.
Well, I would like to say, I'll just quote a Bible verse real quick. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So I love you all, and even my enemies I love, and I just pray for everybody.
Amen. So Thomas, are you there?
Barely.
He's overwhelmed. This is too much love.
I was gonna say, I think I'll have to just mirror what Colta said, is that stop standing around in a line waiting for somebody to give you a handout, and let's get out there and let's straighten things out. You know, if you want them to stop fighting over war, doing war over oil, then let's put a solution out there. Stop standing around in the picket lines, and let's get together and get some ideas flowing and come up with a solution, and make that war irrelevant.
Yes.
Make it completely useless and redundant, and then it'll go away.
Stay home. Stop buying fuel. Watch the gas prices drop to the dirt.
Yep.
Yep. That's right.
There's tons of other things, too, that can be done. I mean, they're fighting over oil because of where it's at. And, I mean, if we find a way to basically either create another source of energy, or even if we can find a way to make oil from, plants and whatnot that are just being basically a nuisance, they grew too high or whatever, you cut them down, you make some oil out of that and use that, that still eliminates the need to go over to somebody else's house, kick in their door, and take their belongings.
Mm.
Because we now have our own.
Yep.
And so, I mean, there's tons of solutions to that. You don't have to just tighten your belt. Let's get some creative thinking. Let's really solve this problem.
Amen, brother. Well, Michael, what you got, brother?
Yep. Know thyself, fulfill the purpose for which you were made. There you go. And you'll be happy.
That's profound.
Very nice.
Do we have Muddy? Is Muddy still there?
Oh, I'm pretty sure Muddy's dropped off, mate.
Oh, man, Muddy probably had a good joke. Okay, well.
What about Dublin?
Dublin? Unmute your mic, brother. It's that little button right there in front. All right, well.
If I just throw one thing out there real quick is don't ever live life with regrets. Do everything you can today because tomorrow you may not have the chance. And the only time, the only thing you will regret is the what ifs.
Who's in the
what if you'd done this? What if you'd done that? What if you tried this? What if you had stood up and walked and done the right thing?
You're right.
They're the regrets you'll have.
I think you can add to that, too. No matter how much you do today, the more you do today, the more ideas and stuff that there'll be tomorrow to do. You're not going to run out.
Exactly.
Who's in the chat room with good reading skills?
Yeah, not bad. Boy.
Read Truth Seeker's comment out.
Truth Seeker's comment out. In the words of Bill Cooper, like it or not, everything is changing. The result will be the most wonderful experience in the history of man or the most horrible enslavement that you can imagine. Be active or advocate. The future is in your hands.
And how? Couldn't said it'd be any better. Well, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. And once again, I'm overwhelmed by all the wonderful content, and I hope that you stay tuned for next night's of the Round Table, and I hope that you get off the couch and come over and sit down at the table with Shannon and Cultus and Thomas and Michael and Dublin and Muddy. I hope you come over and sit down at the table, because the things that are on your heart are the positive pebbles that we need to throw into the pond that we call life. And so with that said, thanks everybody out there for listening to the Knights of the Round Table. And we're going to leave on up out of here like we always do. Constitutional peasants coming up.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Three dots where we're able. We do routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.